Welcome back, everybody, to another edition of the Dangerous Darren Show, featuring my good friend TS on the Adobe Radio Network. TS, what's going on, my
man? What's happening?
How are you feeling?
I feel fantastic.
You seem like
no
today
pain.
That you're in a really good mood. I want to know why.
I'm loving life.
Why?
It's a beautiful sunny day.
It's Los Angeles.
I got some got some ass last night.
You got some ass last night?
Yeah.
Was that Mike or Steve? What was that guy you brought to the Word House the other day?
You are one funny MF-er.
I don't know, man. Like, I don't know. I can't keep up with all your tricks these days. Like, what ass did you get? From your girl, okay.
You got obviously some ass. Obviously from my girl.
You got some ass from your girl.
But, you know, let's say if I got any other ass, would...
You wouldn't be talking about it here.
Of course not. I'll say I got some man ass. There's absolutely nothing wrong with that.
If you got some man ass, TS, I would have no problem with that. And actually, I'd be like, I'd want to watch you get some man ass.
Well, it would be a little weird, but...
Why not? What are friends for?
Yeah,
right?
Exactly. You know.
Well, thanks for joining me, TS. What did you bring? You brought some new exciting alcoholic beverages here.
I got to Modern Times beer, Blazing World.
Blazing World, out of San Diego.
Out of San Diego. It's a hoppy dank amber.
That's what it says right on the can. Hoppy dank amber. What else it says?
You know how much I love dank beer.
Let's open it up. Here we go. Cheers.
Cheers.
To our fourth episode. It's dank.
Wow. That is hoppy.
That is dank. That's beer. I like it, actually.
6.7% alcohol.
So we're going to be drunk by the end of the podcast.
Oh, yeah.
Great. Nothing says for a good podcast like being drunk and sloppy and stupid. Got a great show, everybody. Got interview with a punk rock drumming legend, D.H. Pellegro. If you don't know his name, you should. He has been playing drums for the Dead Kennedys out of the Bay Area for a very, very long time. A great friend of mine, a great drummer, very influential. Not really mentioned when you mention punk rock drummers, but he should be right near the top because he's incredible. So he'll be talking about drums and all the things he's into. We'll also have music from another Canadian band out of Vancouver called Hey Ocean. Good friends of mine, and they are keeping busy, so we'll get to some music from them. And something I want to talk about, TS, right off the top.
All right. What do we do?
My skills in bed, I like to think, are pretty good. I mean, all men like to think they're pretty good in bed. I like to think I'm at least a 9 or a 10 in bed, right? I just found out recently from a recent survey that from a particular young lady that I am a bad fingerer. I have had no complaints up to this point, but now I'm finding out that I'm not that good at fingering, which is really odd because I'm in a band called Goldfinger. It's not bronze finger, silver finger. It's gold finger. I should have some fingering skills, but apparently I do not. Have you had any feedback from your fingering skills?
I haven't had any complaints. I do have busy hands, I'm told.
Well, you're also Italian.
It's true.
And, you know, apparently, allegedly, they make great lovers.
We have...
I'll know when I watch you bang that dude. Well, I'll find out then, but...
we have a refined technique over thousands of years.
I gotta say, TS, I'm a little upset about this. Like, I thought that my fingering skills, all my lovemaking skills were... I mean, after all this time, I thought I'd hone them to a fine point. But apparently, they're not. They're kind of weak.
Well,
the fingering skills, that is.
You just have to see this as a positive and refine your technique. You know, practice makes perfect. You would think as a drummer that you'd be able to perform fingering with precision, but maybe you're just more like a metal drummer and you're just beating the hell out of it.
Maybe the girls are like,
hey, slow it down. Maybe four for nothing.
Maybe less Cannibal Corpse and more like one from Metallica, like the intro. Slow it down.
Slow it down.
Slow it down. Maybe less Rage Against the Machine and more Disturbed. Still metal, but you know, slow it down.
Maybe
dial it down.
Maybe take it to the Deftones.
Oh, that's a great one. Real mellow, soft, but still soulful.
Yes.
God, that's a great reference to us. Hold on. I'm gonna. That's not even a polite golf clap.
Thank you.
Clapping. Yeah, I think I'm gonna do that. Talking about girls, and we talk about girls a lot, me and UTS, but because we're dudes, that's what we do. We drink, we talk about chicks and sports. Those commercials on TV with the progressive girl, Flo.
Oh, yeah.
We'll get to her in a second, but, you know, what if she was up against the AT&T girl, that really pretty brunette geeky girl in AT&T commercials?
Do we know her name?
I call her the AT&T girl.
Okay.
I don't know if she has an actual name on the show, but she does in real life. I'm assuming she has a birth certificate, so I don't know her name. But
all right,
AT&T girl versus Flo. If you had to pick one to have sex with, who would it be?
I just have to pick one. All right.
Well, it would be great if you had both, of course, but you can't. You got to have only one.
I'm gonna go with the AT&T girl.
Why? I'm going to disagree, but I want to know why you pick AT&T girl.
You know, she's got that girl next door kind of vibe, and, you know, she might be a little dirty, you know?
I'm going to disagree with you.
She might have gone to Catholic girl school.
Let me tell you why. I think Flo, just from her vibe alone, the way she looks and carries herself, seems to me like a little more experienced than the AT&T girl next door girl. She is way prettier than Flo, but I think sex with the AT&T girl might be a little missionary, kind of middle of the road, not so exciting, where Flo would be like she'd have toys and she'd tie you up to the bed and she'd slap you and she'd call you names. Yeah. It would just be videotaping, you know, like put stuff on YouPorn, like that. I mean, it would just be like out of
just
control.
Full on.
Yeah. So I'm going to go with Flo. I'm going to roll my dice. Or Flo. We don't know. Flo could be totally lame. I don't know.
Well, you're saying the AT&T girl is just going to let me do a little missionary and then we're going to turn on the TV after.
Cuddling. And after bad sex, she's going to go, "That was amazing. That was," and you're going to go, "Yeah, totally amazing." And she's like, and she's going to fall in love with you real fast too. She's going to go, I think I have feelings for you, TS.
Oh, right after.
After just the first session.
Well, that's what I do to women.
You make them fall in love with you?
One session.
Italian fingering.
You're hooked.
Yeah, so I'll say you go with the AT&T girl. I'm going to go with Flo. But here's a disclaimer. I want to watch you with the AT&T girl.
All right. Well, then I get to watch you with Flo.
Deal. Let's shake on
it.
And drink on it.
Cheers.
Folks, look for this video to be on online sooner than later. What's going on in the world of sports? The Jays right now are they're just not playing great ball right now. The Dodgers, I mean, they're the Dodgers, and they're going to pull through. And the Kings are struggling early, but you know what? We'll get through it. And here's something I've noticed about baseball, TS, and I want to talk to you about this. I want to have beautiful people behind the plate at Major League Baseball games. Now, you know when they show the pitcher, he's looking at the home plate and the pit, and the catcher's there and the batter's there and the umpire or whatever. And there's people in the first two or three rows, and you see them. And
yes.
In between pitches, you have a lot of time to kill. So you're looking at the old dude and the old chick, and then you got the dude with the suit on, and you got the guy that's drinking the beers, and you got the guy with the baseball hat. And it's like all those people should be good looking. If you're – let's take the Dodgers, for example. And if you work for the Dodgers, you should be like, those seats are reserved for fucking beautiful people.
The most beautiful.
Beautiful. And you have to go to an interview. I want seats behind the home plate. Well – I'm sorry, you can't have them. Well, why? I got money. I make a lot of money. Why can't I have them? You're just not aesthetically pleasing enough.
If you want to buy these tickets, we're going to need a set of headshots from you.
Yes. Any videos or you've done or acting reels you might have. Yeah, but then these people need to be beautiful. And I'll tell you why. Because if you watch a lot of baseball, and what we do, you'll see these people behind the plate. And some of them are just fucking like the Elephant Man scary. It's brutal. Like you're looking at like, look at that guy. Oh, my God. And is that Rocky Dennis?
It's distracting if you're a pitcher, or even if you, or even if you have to watch it on TV.
Or here you go. If it's a home, like a home, like Dodger Stadium, the people behind the home plate should be beautiful, beautiful porn actresses with the beautiful bodies and the boobies hanging out to distract the pitchers. And then when it's up, when it comes time for the Dodgers to pitch, when Kershaw or Granke's up to pitch, they replace them with the normal Joes.
So you just, you're like, get out of here.
Two sets of people, yeah.
Beautiful ladies, it's time to go to the bar for shots. And then...
Hey, it's the Dodgers are pitching. The bar's open, bar's wide open. Oh, we also have drugs. So yeah, go up there and knock yourself...
Powder your nose and...
You know what happened to me? So the other day, TS, I'm driving along the streets here in Los Angeles. And as you know, people in LA are not from LA. They're all from all over the world. It's a cornucopia of just... people from all over the world, and some people know how to drive, some people don't. I almost hit a guy on a motorcycle who cut right in front of me.
Was it me?
It was not you.
Okay.
It was, I'd have been like, you motherfucker, TS! But it was a guy cut me off, and I almost hit him, and it was his fault because he came right in front of me, and I was about to turn left, cut in front of me. Then he went into the right lane and kept going forward, and I'm like, oh my god. He looked back and he gave me the finger. What is going on? You ride a bike.
Yes.
You're a motorcycle connoisseur. I mean, what is going on with motorcycles versus cars these days? Not just in Los Angeles, but in general. Why do they feel like they have the right of way to do things like this?
Well, in California, we can split lanes. So we can get through traffic easier. We just go in between the lanes. Most traffic, you can do it as long as it's safe and within the speed limit. Motorcycle drivers tend to drive a little crazy, and you have to be crazy to actually ride two wheels through the city of LA.
Right, I guess.
So.
But have you had close calls?
Oh, yeah.
And be honest, yes. Are these close calls because you effed up or because the driver was just a complete jackass?
I had one that was 20% my fault, according to my insurance company.
20%. I'll take those odds.
I had one that was probably questionable but came out in my favor. And another one was totally the other driver's fault, swerving into my lane. Totally overreacting. And, you know.
If you got stories, definitely I want to hear about them, people. Whether you are a motorcycle driver or you're a car driver, definitely send us what happened, you know, on an email or actually tweet us. And we'll tell your story and send us, we'll follow you. You can direct message us back and forth. It's at DangerousD underscore show. I'm at Darren99 and TS is Burn, H-Wood Burn. And that is on Twitter. Also hit us up on Facebook as well. Just type in the Dangerous Darren Show and all the particulars show up. One more thing before we get to the interview with D.H. Pellegrino. This is bugging me, TS. I mean, the football season is here. Hockey season is here. NBA preseason started right in the middle of the baseball playoffs. But every year when the NFL season starts up, this topic gets brought up, the Dallas Cowboys. And, oh, Romo this and Dez Bryant that. And and that's just players, and they come and go. I get that. But one thing I just can't deal with is Dallas Cowboys, America's team.
Terrible. Terrible.
How the fuck is the Dallas Cowboys America's team? Let me tell you something, people. Dallas is not America. It's some other weird country, and it should be another country. We should have 49 states. Actually, we pick up Puerto Rico and make it 50 again.
We could give it back to Mexico.
I'm down with that, except Austin. We're going to keep Austin.
Okay.
Austin's going to be its own little province, like weird, kind of like Puerto Rico, like a Oregon-owned territory. We're not going to give you Austin. Austin's too badass. But, yeah, Dallas is like, and Texas has tried to secede from the U.S. several times over the last 25, 30 years. They've tried to, there's factions and people have come together and tried to sign petitions to break free from America and be their own country because they have all the oil money and they have all these natural resources. They don't love America. So why the fuck should the Dallas Cowboys be America's team? You know, it should be America's team is, and I hate to say it because they beat the Bills in Super Bowl 25, wide right. Norwood, the New York Giants. And it's because the New York Giants have red, white, and blue in their jerseys. The New York Giants are from New York City, which is the capital of the United States. Not really, but yes, okay. DC. But like New York City, for all intents and purposes, Rome, and we live in the Roman Empire. The U.S. You know, the U.S. is Rome, right? And New York City is Rome itself. That's a John Lennon quote. So why can't the New York Giants be America's team, and Dallas Cowboys can go fuck themselves?
Well, I agree with you on the Dallas Cowboys going and fucking themselves, but as far as America's team, the New Jersey Giants play in New Jersey, which is one of my biggest beefs, and the next America's team should be the Washington Native Americans.
Wait, hold on a second. You want to change the Redskins' name from the Redskins to the Native Americans?
Yes.
I kind of like it. I kind of like it.
And then they will be... America's team.
Okay, I like that, but the problem becomes colors. The Redskins' colors are burgundy and yellow and white. The New York Giants' colors are red, white, and blue.
There's a lot of teams that have that color scheme, the red, white, and blue.
And Washington, D.C. is kind of a new capital. It was Philadelphia for a long time, and then it became D.C., so... And New York was like New York for a long time was like New York City. That was the place you need to be in New York City. So you think the Washington Native Americans should be America's team versus the Giants?
Yes.
We're gonna put this out to a poll, okay. People. What do you think? Send us a tweet at @DangerousD_show on Twitter or hit us up on Facebook. What do you think? Should it be the Dallas Cowboys? Boo earns, or should it be the New York Giants? I'm going to throw in the Buffalo Bills because they also are from the state of New York and they have red, white, and blue in their colors.
The only team that actually plays in New York.
That's true. That's right. Maybe that's why they're in the running. They have a legitimate claim. Or the newly named Washington Native Americans. Who is your team? Let us know on Twitter or on Facebook. You're listening to the Dangerous Darren Show. My name is Darren, of course, and my friend TS over there to my right. I just learned my left and rights, TS. Remember last week we worked on it?
Yeah. Did you get it?
I practiced throughout the week. Now I know that you are to my right, and I am to your left.
So you are trainable.
Yeah, like a dog. I'm okay. Totally trainable.
So maybe we can get that fingering thing down.
That'll be a perfect human being. Let's get to the interview with punk rock drumming legend D.H. Pellegro from the legendary punk rock Bay Area band, The Dead Kennedys, here on The Dangerous Darren Show. Join here in conversation on The Dangerous Darren Show with legendary drummer D.H. Pellegro from the band, The Dead Kennedys. Hey, man, how you doing? Thanks for joining me.
Good to be here, Darren. Thanks for having me, man.
Thanks, man. It's really cool to have you on. I mean, I've known you for a long time, and you have seen, you know, the ups and downs of the Dead Kennedys over the years. You've seen the ups and downs of punk rock. Have you ever just taken a second and stepped back and look at your role in punk rock and the history of punk rock and the Dead Kennedys and just say, holy fuck, what a ride I was just on?
Yeah, sometimes I step back, man, and I go, wow, what a ride. What a legacy we've sort of put down. And what a great place to be, man! Like having influenced a lot of bands around the world, and doing our thing, and our music still holds true today, and it still has validity, and it still helps enlighten, open people's minds, and inspire people to play from the simplest music to fucking King Crimson, you know, whatever people want to do, you know. It's I am taking it back sometimes. I keep trying to work on other stuff to keep myself busy and keep moving forward anyway, man. But every once in a while, I'll take a look back, and I'm like, wow, that's the thing. And it's usually not me who does that. It's usually some fan or somebody comes up to me and says, hey, man, you know what? Thank you for the music you did. Thank you for doing what you did. It opened my mind. It changed my life. It changed my way of thinking. It made me a different person. And like, wow, what do you say to that, Darren? Dangerous Darren, what do you say to that? I'm just like, thank you.
You know what? I think that's a true measure of success, DH, is when you can actually influence people with your music, your musicianship, and what you've done as a musician and as a band. I think that's when you really are successful, when people come up to you and say those kind of things to you.
Yeah, but... In the beginning, we were just kind of little young, wild kids, and, you know, we had the idea of what we wanted to do. But, you know, I don't kind of think of it on a daily basis, on the regular, of like, people are going to come up to me and say stuff like that. And it still kind of blows my mind today, even. But I'm very grateful to have done something that noteworthy in this world, man.
That's great, man. You said a minute ago that you were doing some other projects. I mean, you must have your irons in a lot of different fires. What's keeping you busy these days besides the Kennedys?
Oh man, I actually just got back from Toronto International Film Festival. Well, I'm kind of shopping around the scripts that I've been working on, and me and my girlfriend have been writing a script which is based on my book, my autobiography, which I wrote called Dreadnought, King of Vaporpunk. Y'all need to pick that up. And so we based it. You know, I'm just basing it off of that. And I was just kind of shopping around, seeing what kind of feelers I can get, and just kind of, you know, just taking some new direction in the wide world of staying an artist. You know, I've been doing that, and I've been doing some acting jobs. I wrote this film a few years back, and co-wrote it. And co-produced it. It was a short film called Sex Date, and I was the main actor in it. So that kind of jumped me a little bit into an acting career. And since then, the producer of the film has had me back to do a couple little roles here and there for some of her films. One of them is called Tweaked, and it had Richmond Arquette in it, and the other one's called Erasing Eden. It's a little bit more than an indie film, and it's a high drama film, and that should be coming out this year, hitting some film festivals, and probably showing at some theater here in Los Angeles sooner or later. So I don't know, but you know, just doing that, and also of course working with my band, The Lead Girl. Like I just got back from a run with some Dead Kennedys gigs. We did Palm Desert this time of year, nice and warm. Yeah.
Yeah, all right.
Long Beach, Five Film Festival, High Five Rock Fest. And we flew down to San Diego at the Observatory. So I was doing some recording with Polygo before that. And so I'm going to jump back in the studio with them and finish that stuff up and finish writing the stuff for that and try to put that record out as well as the film. And Keep some eyes in the fire, man. Keep the home fires burning.
You ever thought about getting Pellegro back up and running?
Pardon me?
You ever thought about getting the band Pellegro back up?
Yeah, man. My band Pellegro. We're just trying to. We're finishing up this record, and we're gonna. Just hit some dates around town. I think we got something lined up in Arizona and Vegas, you know. So and that's a whole other thing. It kind of keeps you humble in a sense of like you you're not really starting from scratch, but you know you've got to get out there and pave the road and sort of, I don't know if it's proving yourself or whatever. It's just that I love to do, and I'm the front man, so I get to do that and be out front and play guitar. Do vocals and run around and express myself on the front of the stage. That's a whole different animal. But like being a drummer, I think you learn all those angles from being in the back of bands for so long. You know, or supporting bands, or being the center of the band. I think really, I like to call it leading from the rear, because you know, as a drummer, we're controlling the tempo and the dynamics of the band.
Right.
And man. I've been doing that for some years though, for many shit. I'd say about 18 years or something like that, in some form or another, having Calibro as a band.
Yeah, that's cool, man. I would love to see that. I've never seen it play. I know all about what you did with the Playgirl band, and I've never seen you play, and I would love to see it, man. If whoever comes to Los Angeles and I'm in town and out on the road, I'd love to see it. It'd be really cool.
Okay, cool, man. Yeah, I just talked to some guy about doing some metal night down at Borden's. I'll keep you posted.
Yeah, definitely do. Joined here on the Dangerous Darren podcast with D.H. Pellegro, drummer for the legendary punk rock band, The Dead Kennedys. Now, going back to The Dead Kennedys, D.H., I guess I would be remiss if I didn't talk to you about the reformation of the band. I guess it's been, maybe 9-10 years since you guys got back at it with a variety of different singers. And I mean, I saw you in Toronto maybe 3 years ago, and you guys played a club, and my buddy was a promoter, and he asked me if I would be the runner. So I was like, yeah, I'd absolutely go pick you guys up in the hotel and take you back to the hotel. It'd be my honor. And in the car ride to the venue, I just came right out and I said it. I go, would you guys ever get back with Jello? And you all three said, hey, we have no problem. I mean, it would be a lot of fun. I think it'd be really cool. It's just certain powers that be aren't letting it happen. I mean, are you any closer to any kind of reconciliation with Jello? And do you think really it'll ever really happen? Because if it did, it would be monumental.
Yeah, it would be monumental. I think that would be a great thing. And still, we're kind of in the same place. Yeah, we'd love to have him back, you know, under you know, the condition that he's just a band member, just like everybody else, you know. I think he's just kind of moving further and further away from doing something like that. He's more of an, you know, he has his band, and he's doing his thing. But, you know, yeah, we're still kind of open to that, and I think that it would be a great thing. And, you know, I have no problems with it, you know, I mean, just kind of waiting around for something like that to happen. I think he's the main guy who doesn't want to do it and get back together because he feels wronged in some sort of way. And, you know, we haven't wronged him. I haven't wronged him in any way. We haven't wronged him in any way. And if you know, sometimes you just got to, whatever happened in the past, you need to let go of some stuff if you want to, like, be all you can for the fans and the people who promoters and people who helped you get to where you are, you know. I think it would be a great thing. If he wanted to do it, but if you don't, you know, he's kind of a stubborn guy. He wants to do what he wants to do under his conditions, and you know, I think it's you know, there's ways to work things out, and I don't think he really wants to work it out unless he gets everything he wants, and I don't know. I think the safety in saying I don't know. So, no, man. For the record, again, I'm still open to doing anything with him, man. Yeah.
Well, you know, I think it would be an incredible thing. I think the fans worldwide that you've made since the band unofficially broke up or whatever are many. And I think there's lots of fans like myself who were there when you guys were releasing records and never got to see the band with all four original members. So if he were to come back, it would just be outrageously successful. I think you guys would do a gigantic worldwide tour because I think people worldwide would want to see the four of you on stage again as the Dead Kennedys. I think it's one of those situations, DH, where it's going to be maybe somebody nudging him. Somebody, I don't know who, let's just say Fat Mike, for example, from NoFX. I know he's a big fan. Maybe him, he could like nudge him and push him in the direction saying, hey, you have fans that are would be stoked to see this. You know, me being one of them. Maybe that's the catalyst that gets you four guys in a room together and puts all the drama and BS aside, because you know what, we're all getting older, and it would just be a cool thing to see, and you got to let that stuff go. And it seems like you guys are super chill about it, and maybe Jello one day, who knows, will come to some kind of conclusion that it's something that needs to be done. So fingers crossed, right?
Yeah, you know, yeah, really, really. I mean, if that sort of nudge would help them get to that point, that would be good. And I think some of those guys could influence him in making that decision. Maybe not. I know, we're all getting a bit older, and like Ray and Klaus are kind of like, you know, they keep telling me, well, I don't know how long this thing is, we're going to be able to do this and that and that. So, you know, if anything were to happen, it would be a good time to do it now. You know, because those guys are, you know, they don't want to tour as much, and you know, just a lot of days on the road sort of bogs them down. But you know, me, man, I'm ready. I'm ready to do it.
Yeah, I know you're ready to do it, and there'd be a lot of people worldwide that would love to see it, and I think the guarantees would be doubled and tripled if he came back. It would just be outrageous because I mean, Dead Kennedys with Jello is the Dead Kennedys. And what you're doing now is also the Dead Kennedys. I saw you play a few times, and it's killer to see these songs played live. But, I mean, I'm always a component of the original guys being together and hammering it out. So hopefully one day that can happen. Talking to my good friend D.H. Pellegro here on the Dangerous Darren podcast on the Adobe Radio Network. Hey, listen, D.H., I'm so excited that me and you have become friends over the years, and listening to those records growing up, you were an absolute influence on me. I mean, it's just so weird that I had your number in my phone and I can call you and we can get coffee or talk about drums, because listening to those records and listening to your drumming, you definitely shaped me as a drummer. There's some things you played where I'm like, I have to learn how he did that. How did he do that? And I would study it and practice it until I nailed it. So for being an influence, thank you so much.
Yeah, oh, you're very welcome, Dan. Thank you, man. I was listening to some stuff that I did, and I was having a conversation with some guy in Toronto, and he was like, yeah, well, I like the way you shape this, and you showed me that you can make this happen and play furiously fast through this and bring it down but play through things while changing the tempo. I had to kind of go and listen back to what he was talking about, and, you know, because a lot of that stuff was just done just letting your soul open and fly and just free and just doing it and didn't think about it until years later, you know. Some of the stuff, especially the Franklin Christ stuff, I really, really loved, and that Time for Democracy stuff.
Yeah.
Well, it's a whole discography, man.
It's clean.
You know, it's just it is, like you say, Darren, it's something kind of to be proud of, man, and I am.
It's very clean drumming. It's very precise. It's very creative. Some of the fills you came up with weren't just middle of the road fills. It seems to me like they were well thought out, and you executed them perfectly. And even still, when I see you play live, you hit those drums with such ferocity. It's like you're 20 years old again, and you're just murdering those drums. You're in great shape, and I could watch you play drums all day long, man. It's a thrill.
Some of them weren't well thought out. I just kind of came off them, you know, just off the cuff. I was like, let's see if this works. Try to squeeze it in there. And I still kind of do that. Remain spontaneous and open to new stuff and see what happens, see what I can put in there. Sometimes I make some mistakes and sometimes my kids get caught in a thing.
Well, listen, D.H., thanks for being on my show, and I look forward to seeing you guys play again, and let's not be strangers. Let's get together and grab some coffee and just bro out and talk about drums or music or girls or sports or whatever comes up. It'll be fun.
Okay, thanks for letting me be on Dangerous Darren.
I'll see you soon, my friend.
Okay, buddy. Have a great one.
There you go, folks. My interview with drumming legend, punk rock drumming legend, D.H. Pellegro from the Dead Kennedys. The man knows a lot about music, and I'll tell you, it's yes, growing up when I first heard those Dead Kennedys records, I was like, what on earth is this guy doing? And then when I met him, he was the nicest guy in the world, which goes to show you that the punk rock guys in bands, these huge bands like the Dead Kennedys, are just the nicest guys in the world.
Yeah, they
no egos in punk rock.
No, none.
It was or hardcore, like when you worked with Sick of It All, and you worked with Social Distortion, and you worked with Joe Strummer. Like when you worked with these great bands, you were friends with them. You became friends with them on day one. And as you went on and toured, you exchanged emails and text or whatever with these people. And
it was very cool.
You
like,
still stay in touch with these guys.
Like family. Like family.
That's what D.H. Pellegro is. He's family. He's in my drumming family, and he's my friend, and we stay in touch. And what an honor to have a phone conversation with him. And God, wouldn't it be incredible if the Dead Kennedys got back together with Jello Biafra? I've seen them twice without Jello, and it was cool, and the songs are rad, and they sound like the Dead Kennedys, and three of the four are there. But, I mean, I'm sorry, without Jello, it's just, I don't know, it would be gnarly amazing if Jello was there, wouldn't it?
It would be. It would be awesome. I don't know. What's the deal?
They're just battling over money lost and royalties lost. And they've done shows under the Dead Kennedys' names. And Jello claims that he owns the name the Dead Kennedys. And there's some dispute there. And it's all about it's why bands break up. They break up because of money and conflicts and this and that. And it's all just the same old bullshit. But I want to move away from that and talk about something more positive. I added another record to my record collection, TS, another vinyl record. I added Public Enemies, It Takes a Nation of Millions to Hold Us Back. I'm holding it in my hands right now.
Classic
record with Chuck D with the Raiders cap on. You got Flavor Flav with the Clocker Rocker. I guess they took that picture at 11 a.m. or 11 p.m. I don't know. But at 11 o'clock.
I'm going to say if it's Flav, it's 11 p.m.
Probably 11 p.m. Yeah. And they're in. It looks like they're in a jail cell. And in the back, you got the whole S1W crew. You got Terminator X and Professor Griff.
I saw them play on this touring this record.
Was it with the Beasties?
No.
They did a big
tour. It was a headlining tour with EPMD.
Oh my God, it's amazing.
Yeah.
God, I mean, this
the
song,
S1Ws, everything. It was going off.
This record is just chock full of hits. I mean, God, where do you start? Bring the Noise is on this. Don't Believe the Hype. Louder Than a Bomb. She Watched Channel Zero. Night of Living Bassheads. Rebel Without a Pause. Prophets of Rage. Party for Your Right to Fight. I mean, this record is just amazing. It's on Def Jams. It came out, I don't know when it came out, 88, I believe. And it's just a fantastic record. And my vinyl rule, as you know, TS, is I don't purchase a record unless at least 80% of the songs are good. And on this record, 100% of the songs are good.
Party for Your Right to Fight. Look at that. Top to bottom.
For your right. Fight. It's amazing. And Public Enemy still do it. Although I saw them recently, TS, and check this out. It was a little weird. They came out on stage. And they have a band. They have a drummer, a bass player, a guitar player, you know.
Yeah, you got to step it up. It's 2015.
No, it's cool.
Yeah.
But
yeah.
Flavor Flav, no joke, not a word of a lie. And I love Flavor and I love
he
Chuck.
He was there. He was there.
Yeah, they were. The two of them were there.
Okay.
I mean, it's not Public Enemy without those two. I'm sorry. It's not. So they were there, but here's the thing that kind of threw me off. Flava Flav came out, sat on the drum set, and people were cheering. Hey, all right. He did a 10-minute drum solo.
I'm going to say that's 9 minutes too long.
It was 10 minutes too long.
Okay.
I love Flavor, and I get along with him, and I like him. He's a great guy, funny guy, smart guy, but his drumming skills are, if you had to rank it on a 1 to 10, and I'm going to be generous. I'm going to give him a 3, and that's a generous 3. And his drum solo for 10 minutes was torture.
Okay, so who would you rather see do a drum solo, me or Flavor Flav?
You.
Well, that is torture.
Because you've drum tech for a while, and you must have picked up something. Flavor just was just all over the map.
I kind of drum like a mechanical monkey.
At least you're mechanical. He was all over the map. it was really bad. But, I mean, they came out and they played all the hits, so it was pretty, pretty cool. Hey, you know what I've been wondering about is the most interesting man in the world. We've all seen those commercials, right?
Yes.
The most interesting man in the world. I don't always drink beer, but when I do, I prefer Dos Equis. Now I got to call Dos Equis and hopefully get sponsored by them. But listen. He doesn't always drink beer. So in his catch line, he says, I don't always drink beer. So right away, stop. That means he probably sometimes drinks whiskey or wine. But when I do, I prefer Dos Equis. Right there, he prefers Dos Equis. But maybe sometimes when he's at a bar and they don't have Dos Equis, he's like, okay, I'll have a Dos Equis. And they're like, oh, sir, we don't have a Dos Equis. I'm sorry. He's like, but I prefer Dos Equis. He's like, I know you do. I know who you are, but we don't have it. He's like, okay, I'll take Stella, I guess. So could you imagine walking to a bar and seeing the most interesting man in the world, who's, I don't even know if he has a name, and he's seeing him drink a Stella? Wouldn't that blow your mind? Or like a Merlot?
I'm going to say he's more of a cocktail drinker myself. He's probably
a bit older.
Whiskey on the rocks or martini, a Manhattan.
Good call. An old fashioned.
Oh, yeah. Old fashioned guy.
That makes a lot of sense. But wouldn't it be cool to hang with him? And just like get a picture with the old most interesting man in the world drinking a Dos Equis. It would be fucking awesome.
Where does he live? He's got to live somewhere in around LA, I'm assuming.
Well,
you don't see him out a lot.
Does he have Mexican descent?
It's hard to say.
I mean, he looks sort of Mexican. Suppose he could be Spanish. From Spain. Español. I don't know. But he lives a great life, and he always has the hottest chicks with him. So hanging out with him would be awesome.
actually saw him on TMZ, and he did have some fine-looking ladies with him.
Really?
He did.
Out and about?
Out and about.
Wow.
He doesn't make it that often, but they were like, we caught up with the most interesting man in the world. And
he was hot with some ladies. Some ladies.
Some ladies. Some and they're like, ladies. Well, he's not that interesting, except he's with some ladies.
He must have some good dough because he's done a lot of commercials over the last several years. So he must have a bank account. He must have some cash.
All the time.
I wonder what sex is like with the most interesting man in the world. I mean, he's got to be 60... 60 something, 65, 60, I guess. I don't know. He's old, so he obviously has to take a Viagra. Which, by the way, if you take Viagra, one of the side effects is you might have an erection for more than 4 hours on the commercials. Call a doctor if you've had an erection for more than 4 hours and tell him how awesome your erection is. Doctor, yes, what's wrong? I took Viagra and I've had an erection for 3.5 hours. Oh my God. Yeah, I know. It's killer. I've had sex like 30 times.
Can you double the dose?
I've been hanging out with the most interesting man in the world. We're banging so many hot girls. The side effects of Viagra aren't that bad, man. They're just not that bad. Hey, let's get into some music. But before we do, we have to thank our sponsor, as we always do every show, every Dangerous Darren show. This week, TS, we have a very generous financial contribution, I might add. Very, very, very generous. From Pablo Escobar and Sons Loans and Credit Services in downtown Bogota, Colombia. Now, we all know that Pablo Escobar is no longer on the planet. He was shot down by the Colombian federales. But his sons have started a credit and loans business.
You might as well go legit.
And now, if you're in Colombia and you need to start a business or buy a car or buy a home, I don't see any other way to go besides Pablo Escobar and Sons Loans and Credit Services in beautiful downtown Bogota, Colombia. It says here, many convenient locations.
Well, very good. I wonder if they do payday loans.
I don't know, man. I mean, I think so. I mean, I think they probably have the financial backing to support a payday loan. Like, let's say you get paid $1,000 a week. If you went in, hey, I need a loan, they'd be like, oh, yeah, sure. What do you need? $1,000? Yeah, no problem. Do I need to sign something? No, we know who you are. We know where you live.
We know where you live. By the way, it's 45% by next Friday.
Yeah. Are you still at 123 Oak Lane? Is your mom still Marcia? Yeah, we're good. Do you have a brother named Kevin and Todd?
I do.
Yeah, we're out. Yeah, we're good. We're all right. Go ahead, take the money. 45% by next Friday. See you. See you then. Yeah. So if that's the way you want to roll, definitely hit up Pablo Escobar and Sons Loan and Credit Services in Bogota, Colombia. What a great segue into the next piece of entertainment. We're going to play some music from Hey Ocean, this great band I discovered out of Vancouver, British Columbia in Canada. They have been keeping very busy over the last several years releasing singles and videos, and they're incredibly musicians. They are beautiful songwriters, and I can't say enough good things about the music of Hey Ocean. Here is one of their more popular songs and videos. Check this out on YouTube. It's a song called A Song About California. Music on the Dangerous Darren Show from Hey Ocean.
Write a song about California, he said. Write a song about California, he said to me before I left. But I think I'll write a song about him instead. Now, I'm sitting up on Hollywood Hill. Can't think of a single thing to sing about this place. Maybe I never will, but I'm thinking about you still. Walking down Sunset Boulevard. Never thought writing a song about some place could be this high. With you, I don't know where to start. Here's to the one who kept me up all night, who sings exactly right. Lets me know. Here's to the one
Right there on the Dangerous Darren Show here on the Adobe Radio Network from the Vancouver, BC band Hey Ocean. Definitely go online and check them out. Tons of releases, great videos, great music. They tour quite a bit, and they are great songwriters. What do you think of that song, T.S.? Pretty good, right?
I loved it.
It's poppy. It's got tons of hooks. It's got everything you need in a song, and it's the most interesting song in the world. I don't always listen to the interesting music, but when I do, I prefer Hey Ocean. Stay thirsty, my friends. I'm kind of hungry. What do you want to eat?
Man, what kind of fast food?
Fast food. What kind of fast food do you want to get? Like McDonald's? Hey, McDonald's might be having breakfast all day now. You see those commercials? They might be serving breakfast all day, which is like about time.
It's 2015. Like every other fast food place serves breakfast all the time. Might as well do it.
McDonald's has been suffering over the last couple of years. Their sales have been down sharply.
I feel really, really bad for them.
I feel bad for the CEOs in McDonald's Corporation that went from making $35 million a year to $20 million.
How can you actually get by in this world?
On $20 million a year. How? It can't be done. If you live on $35 every year and you go to $20 million, you're slumming.
Like, you know, I can't get that 24-carat plated Rolls Royce, you know, engraved.
Yeah, and instead of a 170-inch flat-screen TV, you're going to get just 100-inch.
Yeah. I don't know how they do it.
I don't know how they do it. I just don't get it. But, yeah, fast food fails. What's worked for some of these fast food companies and what has not worked? Has the McRib worked?
Man, most of McDonald's food, I think, is gross, but the McRib, I think, is probably the most disgusting. Like, it's simulated ribs.
So it's not even real rib meat.
It's not even, who knows what it is.
It could be cat.
The bones are meat.
Do you think if there's a McDonald's in Vietnam or Laos, there's the McCat?
Well, McDonald's has regional cuisine. So with that being said, there's got to be a McCat or maybe some McFrog legs.
No way there's a McCat. So, if the McCat ever got out into the rest of the world, people in North America and Canada and Europe would be like, fuck McDonald's.
This is like
for serving the McCat.
Dog nuggets.
McDog nuggets. Would you try McDog nuggets if you were in like, if you were in Laos and they had McDog?
I can't do it. I'm a dog lover and I just can't.
So you don't love chickens and you don't love cows and pigs? You hate them? That's why you
If
them?
I had a pet chicken, I probably wouldn't eat as many chickens.
But you have
and
dogs,
if I had a pet so. Cow, I probably wouldn't eat as many cows.
But you don't have pet chickens and cows.
No, my the.
I don't have a dog. I would try one bite of the McDog nugget.
Just one bite.
And I would also try one bite of the McCat burger.
I'm not really a big fan of cats, so I might eat a cat burger.
Would you eat a whole cat burger, or would you just nibble to see what it tastes
just,
like?
Just, you know, you got to try everything at least once. How do you know that you're going to hate it if you don't try it? So
what happens if you had a McCat burger and it was the most delicious thing you ever had and you needed more McCat, but you live in Los Angeles and you have to make friends with somebody in Laos to ship you McCat burgers? It would be a disaster.
It would be. There's this restaurant that serves, it's called Animal, and they serve mostly what I would call garbage parts of animals. And it's really a hip restaurant, and they've got all kinds of delicious food. But, you know, they're making garbage parts of animals. Hipster. So, you know, pig, like pig's ears and bone marrow. And, you know, mostly we'd throw those things away. But if, let's say they started serving like a cat pâté.
You know what? I know what else, TS, is actually quite interesting about this topic is Taco Bell over the years have really added a lot of unique items on their menu. I remember going to Taco Bell when I first got to Los Angeles in 91 and they had burritos, they had tacos, and that's pretty much it. And they were amazing. And they were, and the chicken soft taco was really, really good. Or the seven layer burrito was really good. Or chicken burritos, and everything was just burritos, tacos, and that's kind of it. Now they have chalupas and gorditas and Dorito taco gordita chupalupas. I don't fucking know what they are, but like you go to Taco Bell nowadays, you're like, I'm gonna run to the border, and then you walk in, and you're like, what the holy hell? I don't know what that is. I don't know. It looks good, but I don't know what it is. But you don't want to take a chance on it. You don't want to spend the $4. take a chance on it.
But. I'll have the waffle taco. You're like, what the fuck is that?
Is that it's like the waffle and chicken taco? Like the Roscoe's taco?
That would actually be good. I would eat that at a high-end restaurant.
Have you tried any of these Taco Bell like creations? Have you ever had any of them? Any of them many
I really don't go outside of the norm if I'm going to do any kind of Taco Bell.
When was the last time you ran out of the border? And said, you'll care about Taco Bell. When's the last time you said I need
Taco Bell? We're in L.A. There's so many good Mexican little taco stands. That you,
but you're in a rush.
Where would I go? I'm in a rush. I'm going to drive through. I'm sorry. So. Like, oh. Sometimes I have cravings for the Bell. And I just stick with bean and cheese burrito.
I stick with the seven layer.
Seven layers.
Seven layers are the chicken burrito supreme. The chicken soft taco, if I'm not too hungry, is pretty good because it's small enough you can get two bites, meow, meow, you're gone.
I love chicken, so I'm really particular about the chickens I eat.
You don't love chickens. You don't have a pet chicken, liar. That's why you won't eat the McDog nuggets, but you don't have a chicken. It's yes, random question.
All right.
What is, right now, right off the, I don't want jobs. I want the worst job you've ever had. What's the worst job you've ever had?
Delivering frozen pizzas.
Frozen pizzas.
Yes.
Not hot and steamy.
No, frozen pizzas.
How the fuck do you, I don't, wait, in Buffalo?
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, where else would it be?
I delivered pizzas for Pizza Nova once for 2 days and I hated it. And I quit on the day I delivered three pizzas. I'm like, I'm out. I just went home with the pizza.
Pizza Nova or La Nova?
La Nova. Sorry, La Nova.
Delicious. La Nova. Delicious.
Yeah. I went home with the pizza. And they called me. They're like, where's the pizza? I'm like, I quit. Click. Me and my friend Frank had some delicious pizza for days. So that's my worst job was the La Nova pizza delivery. It was awful. Terrible. I hated it. So yours was delivering frozen pizzas.
Frozen pizzas. These basically some telemarketers would call you and they would sell you some frozen pizzas in the name of a charity. So people
like Jesus?
Basically like, would you like to buy this frozen pizza for Jesus? And there's a certain amount of a population that's going to, you know, they're going to bite. they're going to get a frozen pizza for Jesus. So they would give me all these frozen pizzas. I'd load them up in a cooler in the back of my Chevette, and I'd drive around and I'd deliver them. And they would come on, you know, people would order these pizzas and they'd forget that they ordered them. It's not like you ordered a frozen pizza and had it delivered within 30 minutes. You order this pizza and it was going to come within a week.
A week.
Yeah. Awesome.
You forgot about it after six days.
So after like 6 days, you'd show up to these people's doors. I'm like, I'm here with your pizza. And they're like, we didn't order a pizza. Like, well, this piece of paper here says you ordered a pizza. It's frozen. It's a week ago for charity. And either they'd be like, oh yeah, here, thank you.
Did you get tips?
No.
Was the salary any good?
No, terrible.
A lot of running around.
A lot of running around for almost nothing. And some people, you get there and they go, we didn't order pizza. Like, well, sure you did. This piece of paper said this. Well, we don't want it. Well, awesome. I'll just throw this frozen pizza, and by the time I get back to the office, it's going to be thawed, and they're just going to refreeze it and send it to somebody else.
You should have taken it home.
I was responsible for all the pizzas in my trunk.
But if they didn't claim it, they're not going to call and go, hey, we don't want that pizza. And then it's not like you're minus a pizza.
This is true. I don't have the criminal mind that you do. And these pizzas were disgusting.
Speaking of criminal minds, before we get out of here, the best job I ever had was working for Starbucks. Not playing drums, because that's a great job, and playing music and traveling around the world and getting paid for it is a great job, don't get me wrong. But as far as jobs where I had to show up and clock in and clock out, Starbucks by far. I had sex with lots of the girls I worked with. I got free coffee and pastries. They made me the manager. And after a little while, I started to embezzle some money from Starbucks.
They're a big faceless corporation. Why not?
It was awesome. I hate it. And that's when Goldfinger got signed and we were getting ready to go on the road. And I had to quit the job. I actually hated quitting the job because I love showing up. It was free espresso, free coffee. I gave free coffee to all my friends. I gave, I hit on a lot of girls that came in. I hooked up with some of the girls I worked with. It was free pastries. It was just like an awesome job.
I remember this was pre Frappuccino, and
this was actually right at the birth.
The birth of the Frappuccino.
Want to hear a story about that really quick? My buddy, who I worked with at the Starbucks, invented the formula for Frappuccino.
He
created the Frappuccino. And to thank him, you know what Starbucks did? They gave him a check for $5,000. Here, thanks for creating Frappuccino. Here's $5,000. In 92, that's a pretty good amount
like,
of money.
You're like, yeah, that's awesome. Thanks.
When you make like $600 a week, you're like, wow, $5,000. Wow, dope. But he got robbed. He should have said, I'll tell you what. I'll take the $5,000 and 2%.
Yeah.
Fuck, 1%.
What? Like, how many people go in every day and get a Venti?
Worldwide,
get a Venti Frappuccino, which is basically a coffee milkshake.
Even 1% a year would probably be at least a couple $100,000. At least. Yeah, he kind of fucked up on that one. But yeah, I don't feel bad. I don't feel bad robbing Starbucks for what I did. I'm not going to say what happened, but yeah, it was a little dishonest at the time. We'd like to thank everybody for tuning in to the Dangerous Darren Show. Thank you so much. And follow us on Twitter at DangerousD_show. And I'm Darren99. And TS is Burn, H-Wood, Burn. Go to Facebook and find us there and become our friend. Again, big shout out to Pablo Escobar and Sons Loans and Credit Services in Bogota. And thanks to the music of Hey Ocean. Also, big thank you to DH Pellegrino, drummer for the Dead Kennedys. Next week, TS, we are probably going to be talking to, I don't know yet for sure, but probably it's going to be Phil Pritchard. Do you know who Phil Pritchard is?
Phil Pritchard.
Phil Pritchard is the man that brings out the Stanley Cup and awards it to every team for the last 15 years. He is the keeper
of
the cup.
The curator of
The Hockey of Hall of Fame.
Yes,
that's right.
Okay.
And he is a good friend of mine. He's got a lot of stories to tell about the Stanley Cup over the last 15, 20 years. And we're going to have him on to talk some hockey and talk some Stanley Cup.
Awesome.
And we'll talk about how the Kings are going to win the Stanley Cup this year. Fucking booyah. It's going to happen.
Yeah.
It's going to happen again. We're going to win three cups and keep pace with the Chicago Blackhawks. My friend TS, I am Darren Pfeiffer. Thanks for tuning in to the Dangerous Darren Show. We'll see you all next week.
Where's Enzo?